We thank you because there's no error in this atmosphere. We thank you because that all that needs to be said, be said by the inspiration of your Spirit. We thank you for edification that comes with such knowledge. And the name of your great Son is glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Come join them now. You know, we cannot emphasize the prayer for knowledge. We cannot overemphasize it. Like I always say, in salvation, you receive the fullness of God. Okay? In salvation, God doesn't give you righteousness, holiness. God doesn't give you this. God gives you a person. And that person is Christ Jesus. So, in Christ is the righteousness of God. In Christ is the holiness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So after salvation, the next thing is knowledge about what you have received, discovery. You don't receive anything again because you receive the fullness of God in salvation. Knowledge now becomes the prominent thing in the epistles. That's why you find that in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Breath forth. That means a child who is just giving birth to now. This has newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Paul in Ephesians 1 says, I cease not to pray for you. I cease not to pray for you. For what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, grant unto you the spirit of wisdom, which is revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, I cease not to pray for you. That means Christianity is a call to know and to keep knowing. I cease not to pray for you that you should know. I cease not to pray for you. That is, I'll keep praying for you to know. So, Christianity is a call to know and to keep knowing. In Philippians 1, he prayed. He said, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more, all to all knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense unto the day of Christ. Colossians, the same thing. He prayed. He said that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk on your beam pleasing. And he says, are you may abound in all the works of God. In Ephesians, the same thing. He prayed for knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. He prayed for knowledge. Like I said, the Christian life is a journey from knowledge to knowledge. A journey. And the emphasis is epignosis. Epignosis is not just knowing something by the side. Epignosis is having facts, knowing the details. Not just knowing that Philemon is Philemon. Knowing that Philemon is from Kogi State is from having facts, details. That's epignosis. I know the facts for sure. Amen.
Amen.
So, today I have the privilege by a man of God, Reverend Smart Sue, share on the subject grace and honor in ministry. Let's see 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy 3 and verse 15. He says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, which is the church of the living God. Then he says, the pillar and the ground of truth. He says, that you may know how you ought to behave. I'm writing so that you can know how you ought to behave in the church of God. That means Christian conduct is taught. Says you may know how to behave. Christian practice is not built on assumptions. It is a deliberate action in knowledge. So you may know how you ought to behave. Not, I think you know how you ought to behave. No, I'm writing to the intent that you know how to behave. That means if one is not taught, there's a tendency that he will not know how we ought to behave in the church. So the emphasis is strong on knowledge. Salvation knowledge, spiritual growth, walking knowledge.
Hallelujah.
Grow in knowledge. Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, okay, and his tithe, grow in grace, that is the knowledge of our Savior, right? So the emphasis on knowledge is so strong. Now you may know how you ought to be. I remember being in a conference, an international pastor's conference with Bishop Kibutla from US. He said something that struck me. Somebody asked me a question, a pastor. I can't even remember the question the guy asked me. But he said something. He said, whatever you want the church to do, you must teach them. That means, don't expect anything from a church you've not taught. If I want the church to walk in love, I must teach them. If I want the church to flow in the things of the Spirit, I must teach them. If I want the church to walk in honor, I must teach them. That means I'm not supposed to expect that if I'm not taught them. So knowledge plays a vital role in the church. That struck me. I said, yeah, that's true. Whatever you want the church to do, you teach them. I write so that you ought to know. That's what is called church behavior. Hallelujah. This is not the way you behave in your secular world. This is not the way you behave in your class. This is not the way you behave in your house. The knowledge of God's word is to inform us how we behave. I write so that you can know. You can know. Hallelujah. That's I've shared grace and honor in ministry. So let's start talking about it. Romans chapter 12. I'm very quick, my time. Very short time. Glory to God. Romans 12 and verse 3. It says, for, are we all there? Are you there? Romans 12 from verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, says, to every man that is among you, then he says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He says, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. If I was to translate this verse 3, I'll call that word, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of the faith, not every man the measure of faith. I'll translate it that way. Reason be, because he is discussing ministry. Okay, I know sometimes I've used this for faith, the faith of God, and I'll talk to you, the faith of God. But if you read in context, he was discussing ministry. That word measure is metron, which is used for portion. Okay? It says, God has dealt with every man a measure of faith. The same word he used in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, to every one of us is given gift according to the measure of Christ's gift. Okay? Same word measure is discussing gifts. In reading context to 11, it says, give some apostles discussing gifts. So when he says, every man, the measure of faith is referring to what? What? What's portion? The portion is a portion of the faith, okay? The faith is the same, salvation, alright? But the measure is a measure from the faith or a measure of the faith. Okay? Are we together? For it says, as we, he's now explaining, as we have many members in one body, and all members have what? Not the same office. He says, we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Okay, the faith is the same, but the measure is not the same. He says, we are given measure, right, according to Christ's gift, Ephesians 4, 7. The faith is the same, the measure is different. Different office. Are we together? Let's read on. 5. He said, so we being many are one body in Christ. Then he says, and everyone members one of another. Then 6. He says, having then gifts
differing according to the grace that is given to us. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. He says, there is, he calls it gifts differing according to the grace given to us. You know, he made mention of the fact that in verse 3 that we have the same faith, okay? Well, what? What? Different measures. Excellent. The same faith, okay? In salvation, we receive the same thing. Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Alright? The same thing. Okay? Titus 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which you have done. Okay? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, you are saved by what? Grace through faith. So, it says that we have gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. You know, sometimes when we preach grace, we just preach grace as per salvation alone. We are saved, this and that. But some people fail to recognize that in salvation, there is what is called gifts differing according to the grace. That means we are the same in salvation. We receive the same Spirit of God, okay? The same inheritance. We have access to the same gift of the Spirit, all right? But we are not all the same when it comes to office. We are not all the same when it comes to function. That's what he's saying. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. We are not all the same. The same thing Paul was saying in Ephesians 4. Having said that it is one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Father. Okay, everything one. Telling us the orthodoxy of Christian faith. One everything. Then he says, having then gifts. In verse 7 he says, all to each and every one of us has been given what? Gifts according to the measure of Christ. The same thing. But we are not the same when it comes to function. We are not the same when it comes to responsibility. So Paul is teaching this from the angle of grace. That is, the same way the grace of God came to you without works. You didn't merit it. God did it for you in Christ. You received it. That is, the man who is called to a particular office, naturally, he will not merit it. It's not by his action. It is the grace of God. Are you getting this? Someone is called into the office of the pastor or the apostle. Paul is saying, in your eyes, naturally, that man might not merit it. It is God's grace. The same way you receive salvation, not as a result of your actions. Not because you did anything, God gave it to you. So the man standing in that office is saying, it's a gift of grace. That means the same way I would treat salvation, I didn't merit it. Oh, the same way I would treat that man, that this is God's grace. I'm not supposed to look at his conduct. I'm not supposed to look at his natural frailties. Amen. He says, having then gifts, it differing according to the grace that is given to us. Then he now begins to explain. He says, whether prophecy, says, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. 7, or ministry, says, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Then from verse 9, I will explain the what? Diversities or the differences, okay, of gift. It now begins to tell us our conduct, how we are to approach them. Because he says, we are not all the same. Some are to do this, some are to do this. Then he now begins to tell us how to relate with one another. Being the fact that we are not the same. Are we getting this? 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation. That means pretense. He says, let love be without pretense. Above that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. It says, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. Then it says, in honor, preferring one another. Are you seeing that? He says, in honor, preferring one another, having taught us that we are not of the same. We receive the same salvation, the same Spirit of God, the same access to the things of the Spirit, the same righteousness. But however, he now begins to say that we differ in terms of responsibility. Hallelujah. And having said that, he now says we have to honor one another. That means I might not have the responsibility of Pastor Joy. Pastor Joy might not have the responsibility of Sister Zipporah. Sister Zipporah might not have the responsibility of Pastor even. But he says we must honor. Because he made a precedence that this is an action of grace. The man didn't do it by himself. It's an action of grace. You see, the gift of God is not man's action. A man cannot just choose that I want to be a pastor. A man cannot just choose I want to be an apostle. Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, it is God that set in the church. He says, it is God that set in the church. Ephesians 4, he calls it a gift of Christ. Like I told someone, you don't ordain a pastor. What you do, you discover a pastor. It is the work of God. God works it in the man, then we discover it in the local church. You don't ordain a pastor. What we do, what we call ordination, is just to discover what God has put in the man. It is the working of God. Paul says, it is God that worked it. It is called grace. God worked it in him, independent of his action. So that means in my eyes, this guy might not look at it. This guy, I might see physical frailties. I might see someone who doesn't know how to speak well, somebody who doesn't know how to dress well. Do you understand? I might see frailties. But God is saying it is by grace. So to that regard, I'm supposed to honor. We might be in the same class. Are you getting it? We might be in the same house. But the grace of God separates me from you. Not as a result of my action. Not as a result of what I do or what I don't do. No, it's God's grace. God's working in me. Just like Paul says, I am what I am by grace. He says, unto me, who am least of all the apostles, is grace given. He says, I labor more than they, say, yet not I, for the grace of God that was at work in me. If you read Galatians chapter 2, he said, when they perceived the grace of God that was at work in me, say, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. That means they honored that grace. We are not all the same. Don't deceive yourself. Saved the same way, the same Spirit of God, the same access to the things of the Spirit. But when it comes to ministry, it says, all do not have the same office. Hallelujah. All do not have the same office. Like somebody said, he said, you can have classmates or your friend can be your classmate, but not your grace mate. So nice. Your classmate, but not your grace mate. We can be brothers, but I'm not your grace mate. Amen. We are not all the same. Praise the Lord. We are not all the same. So, God chooses people independent of their action. And you cannot question God. You don't ask God whom he chooses. Are you going to ask God who? Why did he choose Peter? Why did he choose this? Why did he choose Paul? That's not your business. I don't choose who I'm to honor. I honor whom God has chosen. This is the one I honor. No, I honor the one God has chosen. Because God chose him independent of his frailties. God knew Peter was going to betray him. He still chose him. Paul says, we have this vessel, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, frail vessels, frail. That means they can fail. Sometimes we'll see some practical stuff. Sometimes you see their human side. But that doesn't take away the fact that God's grace is on them. Amen. Yeah. So Paul says in verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate one to another. He says, with brotherly love, he says, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Very quickly, I'm going to define that word honor, what it means. Let's see. Honor means to respect. Okay. Or to treat as uncommon. To respect, to treat as uncommon. It also implies to treat as sacred. One of us will see outside and talk anyhow about. You see a pastor? Because there's a pastor anymore. Eh? When this one turned pastor, you know, stuff like that, stuff that the world will just say anyhow, you are treating as sacred. It means to respect, to treat as sacred. Hallelujah. It implies, I said it implies to treat as sacred, it should be our attitude towards things, people, places, and events that God has put his name and seal upon. Our attitude towards what? Things, people, places, and events that God has put his name and seal upon. I'm going to talk about the fact that we have to honor our gathering, honor men of God, honor our leaders, honor one another. You see, like somebody told me, he said, if you are going to see much more demonstration of the glory of God in any local church, you must be strong in honor. You must be strong about it. Why? Because God is going to demonstrate his glory through men. The men who don't honor, we cannot receive from them. You are going to see much more glory, much more demonstrations of God's Spirit. That means we walk much more in honor, much more in honor. Respect the fact that this is the gift of God. Respect the fact that this is the grace of God. Amen. Because for us, God doesn't speak like that. No, he speaks through men. In fact, all of God's activities on the earth is through men. God wants men saved through men. God wants to save a man. He will nudge a man to pray. So, all of God's activities on the earth is through men. That means, to honor God will be to honor the men. It will be to honor them. To treat them well. To revere. Respect. Amen.
Amen.
Not because we live in the same block or the same, you know, some people are on culture because they live in the barracks. But you see, like I said, the word of God informs us how to behave. How to behave. How to behave. I say people go down for their pastor. Pastor. Now your pastor did that one for. Now your papa, now I'm born you. Pastor. And somebody that determines your eternal stuff. Jesus said, what can it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That means the every parent can train him to get all the education. But without spiritual or salvation from a man of God or a minister of God, all that stuff is waste. Do you understand? You train him in school, spend so much money, but he doesn't receive salvation. All those concerns. Amen. So I say it means to respect, to treat as uncommon. That doesn't mean there will not be frailties, shortcomings. There will be. But my eyes is not supposed to be on the shortcomings. My eyes is not supposed to be on the frailties. My eyes is supposed to be on the grace of God. My eyes is supposed to be on the fact that He is called of God, He is anointed of God. This is God's grace. Like I said, you didn't tell God to choose him. Did he tell God? God doesn't require your permission to choose anybody. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Amen. He doesn't. God doesn't need to call you. Hello? Should I anoint this guy? Should I call this guy? No. Amen. I'm going to get practical, okay? Like I said, very quickly we'll run to how do we honor people? The very first one, what we say about him. What we say. Mark chapter 6. I will ensure I don't run more than my time. I've been invited to a night vigil before where I handed the mic from 12 to 4:30. Man, you right now. I didn't know the time had gone. They don't even to share. I took the whole time back. Ah. Mark chapter 6. He says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him there. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Look at 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and given him his city, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and amongst his own kin, and his own house. Look at what they said. Is this not a feeling more? Abraham, Grand Kulu. He's now pastor. This is what they see. Now he's the pastor. He knows that kind of stuff. They gave him his CV. The carpenter, his brother is here with us. Do you understand? The things we say. Hallelujah. Jesus called it, look at 4. He says, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. That is, Jesus called what they said dishonor. What they said about him. He is the grace of God. God's gift. God's logos. John 1:1. 1 Timothy 3:16. He is God made manifest in the flesh. Look at, let's read on. Verse 5 says, and he could then do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Then 6, he says, he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So again, it shows us that dishonor is a product of unbelief in the grace of God. He said he marveled at their unbelief, because they didn't believe that he is the grace of God. They didn't believe that he is anointed of God. They began to talk bad at him. Whilst dishonor is a product of unbelief, honor is faith in action. That means I believe that this one is called of God. Dishonor is a product of unbelief. Honor is faith in action. I see human frailties. I see that he cannot talk well, he cannot stand well, he cannot, but I believe that he's called of God, he's anointed of God. My eyes is on the grace of God upon him. So honor is faith in action. Refusing to see the frailties. Of course, before this, chapter 5, Jesus just healed the woman with the issue of blood. He didn't even touch her. Was just walking, and she said, if I would touch his garment. So other guys are speaking low of him, but somebody just says, if I would touch his garment. If I would touch his garment, I know I'll be healed. She had faith and honor for the man. There was nothing in the garment literally, but something came out because of faith and honor. I believe that when I touch this thing, something will come to me. I will be healed. So whilst others are seeing a normal man, somebody is seeing the grace of God. Somebody is seeing the grace of God. What we say? What we say? Because you guys are in the same block, the same base. He's your pastor. You begin to talk to him anyhow. Gives you instruction. Go and do this. And then they go. You begin to talk anyhow. Forgetting the fact that it is God's calling, God's gift, God's grace. God's grace. He didn't give money to get it. God didn't say, this guy has done so much. No. God's grace. Independent of the man's work. What I say about it. What I say about my leader, my cell leader, my headset leader, what I say. I believe we are all going to receive corrections from here. Hallelujah. And work better. Because that's the intention of God. That the word of God is taught us and we change our mind. Okay? We'll have greater demonstrations of the Spirit in this place. Hallelujah. What we say. Like I said, we must treat them with respect. There's nothing wrong with calling yourself leader, sir. There's nothing wrong. You see me now? Do you understand? There's nothing wrong. Treating them with respect. Treating them as sacred. This one and that. Hallelujah. What we say about them. Amen. Again, we are going to see John 7. Amen. John 7 from verse 1. Let's read. Jesus. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacle was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doest anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. For if thou do these things, should I say it to the world? Verse 5 says, for neither this what? It is brethren believe. His own brethren, Jesus, his own brethren. Hallelujah. It says, neither did they believe in him. Like I told you, dishonor is a product of what? Unbelief in the grace of God. The way you speak about somebody shows that you don't really believe that he is called of God or he is anointed of God. Amen. You don't believe so. In fact, you see some guys, before they get close to a man of God, this one is the most high. They call names, like this one is Apostle Paul, this one is this. They see him, they revive him so high. But sometimes, when we get so close, we will now allow familiarity set in and begin to dishonor. I've seen people in school who say, I know somebody one day, say, I'm going to the cafeteria to look for something to eat. And she told me, and she looked at me and said, I thought people like you don't used to eat. Yeah, you know the human being. And somebody said,
I'm tired, I want to be arrested.
He said, I told people like you don't used to sleep. What have you turned us to? But you see, that's the way people look at you from afar. But sometimes, the moment you get close, and you now begin to see human frailties. You now begin to see the fact that he is sleep like this, one leg this way, one leg this way. And the way he eats, Pastor, that is easy to eat. Amen. We now begin to allow this one of setting. Or we see them often around. Now begin to allow this one of setting. You see, I'm talking to every one of us so that we can make amendment. We can correct ourselves because doctrine is also for correction. Right? And that correction, Paul calls it what? Instruction in righteousness by day. Development. When you make that adjustment, it is called development. Amen. We are going to see some practical examples here. Amen. We'll go to the Old Testament. Before we go there, let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. So we have a guiding principle to go to the Old Testament. Romans 15 verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So Paul is saying that there are things in the Old Testament that we can learn from, right? Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 6 says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." So he's saying that we can learn from the conduct of people of the old. Okay? Learn not to walk in the flesh. Okay? So there are things that we can learn from. We must build this foundation before we go there. Alright? So let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Don't forget, we said the way we honor is what we say, right? What we say. What I say about Pastor Philemon. What I say about Pastor Joy. What I say about Pastor Tony. What I say about Pastor Kubi when he's not even there. What I say about Sister Felicia, being my cell leader, when she's not even there. Amen. Genesis 9. There are things we learn from them. Amen. Let's read from verse 18. "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham
and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Then verse 19, it says, these are the three sons of Noah. One of them was the whole earth overspread. Okay? And of them was the whole earth overspread. 20, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Then 21, he drank of the wine and was drunk, and he was uncovered with his tent, within his tent. Then verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. He didn't just see it, then he says, and told his two brethren without. Then 23, it says, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew that his younger son had done unto him. 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant or servant shall he be unto his brethren. Look at this. There are three. Okay. Ham came and saw the father's nakedness, in that sense. Not just seeing, but he started sorrow, began to talk. And like, you get close to the man of God, you get close to your cell leader, you get close to a leader that is placed above you, and you begin to see human frailties. Instead of covering the man of God, you begin to talk. That's what he did. He went out and began to announce. Amen. Why the two others, they covered their father's nakedness? Even though the man was wrong, you notice when the man, I don't even know how he knew. Of course, he's a prophet of God. The Bible says he's a prophet of God. He knew when he woke up. And the man said, cursed be Ham, a servant of servant shall he be. He saw the father's nakedness. He saw the father's frailty. Of course, the father is a prophet of God, one who prophesied about Christ's work to come. He built an ark as a show of the belief of his faith that he had in Christ. Okay, he was a prophet of God. God's grace was upon him. So that relationship that he had with the man, and saw the man's frailty. He drank and he was without clothes. Then he went about saying it. Amen. What about sin? Like I said, honor is in what we say about people. It doesn't mean that you will not see human beings. It doesn't mean that you will not see faults. This guy is the grace of God. This guy is the man of God. He spoke about the redemptive work of Jesus to come. Hallelujah. But they allowed familiarity setting. He's my father. I know him now. See him. Who did drink there? He's my brother. He's my this. He's my dad. Hallelujah. So, the way I speak about a man of God, the way I speak about the grace of God, will show whether I'm honoring the man or not. What I say about him will show whether I'm honoring the man or not. Like I said, you can be in the same house. He's your brother, he's your sister. And you see everything about him, you see everything about her. But the way I speak of her will show if I'm honoring the grace of God on her life or his life. Amen. We are going to see more. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers 12. Forget to say we must treat it with respect as uncommon.
Hallelujah. Revive. Treat it as sacred. What is called the sacred thing? In the Old Testament, you cannot even touch it. Sacred. Like David said, there are things too high for me. Things too high that I'm not supposed to talk about. Things too high. Sometimes I talk to myself, I keep my heart tender. I'm keeping my heart tender. I keep my heart tender. Sometimes when you walk with me stuff and they get you angry, I keep my heart tender. Hallelujah. I'm learning to expect the grace of God upon a man's life. It is not the function of the man's action. God chose him without your notice. Like in the thing we say, he said, getting a man's light darker will not make your own shine brighter. Speaking low of a man will not make your own light shine brighter. I speak wrong about the man, it will not make my own shine brighter. It will not make God change his mind that I'm no longer calling this guy, I'm taking this guy. No! Amen. Numbers 12. From verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron, Moses' siblings. Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses. Look at, because of the Ethiopian woman. Okay? God married to an Ethiopian woman. Of course, he gave them an instruction not even related to other people apart from the Jewish guys. They're not supposed to intermarry. They're not supposed to get married with others. Okay? But he now went to get married to an Ethiopian woman. Naturally, he was wrong. Right? Look at this. It says, and Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he married an Ethiopian woman too. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Are you saying it? This one I will talk to Rigo Yan. And he said, if there is a prophet, I will come to him in dreams, right? In visions. He said, but my servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all my house? 8. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, were you not afraid? The man was wrong, though. Moses was wrong, though. Hope you know. He was wrong naturally. But the fact that they spoke against him, God didn't even look at the fact that the man was wrong. Notice he didn't mention anything like that. He didn't mention, Moses, why you said marry to them? No, he didn't mention anything like that. He says, were you not afraid that you spoke against him? Look at this. 9, it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. 11. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have what? Done what? Foolishly. And wherein we have sinned. So, he said, were you not afraid? Don't forget, Paul says there are things we can learn from. We can learn from their conduct. He says, this is the grace of God. He says, if there's a prophet, I'll talk to him by visions, by dreams. He says, but Moses, my servant, is not so. He says, this one will yearn face to face. He says, were you not afraid to speak against them? How do we speak about our pastors? How do we speak about our leaders? How do we speak about them? How do we? How do we do it? Are we taking our eyes off the grace of God to see their frailties? Or we are respecting the grace of God upon them? But you know what I said? And Aaron said, he prayed, he asked Moses, please pray. We have acted foolishly. That means to dishonor is to speak foolishly. It's to speak without wisdom. It's to act foolishly. Say, we have done foolishly. We have spoken without wisdom. The man was wrong naturally. He was not supposed to do that. He gave the law not to marry aside those in Israel. But he got married to an Ethiopian woman. Hallelujah. Are we learning from this? That is not a fact whether the man is wrong or not. What I'm supposed to see is what? The grace of God. I'm not supposed to see his fault. I'm not supposed to talk about his fault. Right? I'm not allowed. Like David said, touch not my anointed. You know, we can do that through the way we speak about them. The way we speak about ministers of God, the way we speak about our leaders, the way we speak about our own pastor. I want to take it outside. It's we here. We must take this thing to heart and ensure that we change. We change. Because for sure we are going to have grace move of the Spirit. Even the things of the Spirit, we must honor it. We must not get to the time where we now begin to see it as lege, bosa, lege. You now come to a point where you don't see it as sacred anymore. You now come to a point where you don't see tongue as sacred anymore. You now come to a point where you don't see prophecy as sacred anymore. Because human beings can get like that. They have been praying in tongues. You now see tongues like, what did this say? Something that you valued before. Something that you saw that you needed to do as a necessity every day. You now get to a point of contempt where you don't see it as anything. You now treat it as sacred. Oh, sorry? Uncommon. Oh, come on. You follow those who laugh about it. They see it all. That is acting like a fool. Like the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 10, we must treat holy things as holy. All those fools who call themselves comedians and they were using men of God as their character for jokes. And some Christians go and sit there and they're laughing. Are you not a fool? Like I'll tell my friends, if you know what it means to be a man of God, unless you're on a joking type. Unless you're on a joking type. Because you have to be on. You have to be on praying. You have to be on studying the word. Because you have to teach others. A lot of times you have a lot of sacrifice to do on your part. A lot of times, especially those on campus, I used to visit campus with you. Because you are thinking about exams. You're thinking about what you're going to eat. You're thinking about ministry. You're thinking about prayer. Thinking about follow-up. One person. And somebody will sit from afar and speak ill about such person. One comedian will just wake up from nowhere and just speak a pastor. I believe we are training people where if others are talking about them, we're going to be biased because they're intelligent. I believe we are training people like that. We are training people who will be informed with God's word as when people are talking about men of God, just talking, you just be quiet because you're intelligent. We are training people like that. Like I was telling somebody, I was telling them, don't watch all those things, all those YouTube stuff about this pastor. Don't watch all those things. A pastor did this one. Hey, don't watch it. Hallelujah. Yes. Respect the grace of God. Treat him as sacred. See the grace of God. Don't see the frailty. Whether he does it or not, that's not my business. Do you get it? It's not my business. He got married to an Ethiopian woman. Is it your business? It's not your business. Like Paul Romans is saying, he said, what's your business judging another man's servant? He says, for his master he standeth and he falls. He said, but he, the Lord will make him stand. Amen. I'm a child of honor. You are a child of honor. We are people of honor. We will learn to treat God's grace with respect. We will speak about them. We must respect them. There's nothing wrong with calling you sir. Nothing wrong with calling you mad. Nothing. It's just that I respect you. I revere you. There's nothing wrong. I respect you. Like one of my friends who came to the rabbit, he called me up. Sir, I respect the oil. Yeah, same with the oil. But it's just a way of saying, I respect you. I respect you. In honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. You are not all the same. You are not all the same. You will be deceiving ourselves to think you are all the same. There are some things some of us go through that you will not be expected to go through because we are going through it for you. Some experiences God will allow us to go through. Okay, the pastor, yeah, the members are not supposed to go, you are wise to go through some of these experiences because you didn't learn. Some things the Lord will allow us to go through, okay, for the benefit of the members. Hallelujah. So if some of us talk, you're not supposed to talk. Not as a result of age, or you're not even supposed to talk. Because some of the things that we have experienced as a result of God's grace, God's providence that has set us aside, you're not even supposed to talk. They give you an instruction, you argue. I want to go buy canoe, or I want to go grab canoe. Like I always say, it's because some of us grew a church where we were not cultured or trained by the pastor. That's why there's this lethargic attitude. The church you go, just go, enter, come out. You know you're the evangelist. You're not doing VG of 10 hours. You're not doing follow-up. Do you understand? How is that a training? How is that a vocation? Like I said, Paul says, I'm writing so that what you can know Christian conduct is taught. So we are teaching you from God's word. Because, like I told you, Bishop Keith Butler said, you don't expect anything from a church that you have not taught. We are teaching you because we know you will do it. We are obedient children. That's what the Bible says. We are not rebellious children. We are obedient. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I revere my pastor. I revere my leaders.
in my speech. Don't speak anything. You know you are angry.
Hey, Adebes, calm down. Calm down.
And don't speak foolishly. Calm down.
Amen. We'll see some other examples. They're not done. He said, we must learn to speak well of those whom God has put over us. And not just pastors alone. Not to speak well of pastors. Pastors have to speak well of their members too. Honor is not just from pastor, from members to member to pastor. It's also pastor to members. How we treat our members.
We must treat them well.
Speak well of them. Amen. The privilege that God has given you over his flock is not a privilege to speak to people anyhow. You know, some people, when they just give them, you are now so so and so, something going to enter their head.
You're not beginning to talk anyhow.
After all, they say, leader,
get out! Go here. This, you are not right.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I always say it's a privilege to serve God. And the opportunity that I have over God's people is a rare privilege. A rare privilege. Amen. So number one, he said, how we speak about them, right? I must speak rightly. I must revere them in my speech.
I must treat them separate in my speech. I must treat them as sacred in my speech.
Okay.
Sacred. These are holy. Holy stuffs. Holy gifts.
I remember a time ago I had to visit a sister at Igondo. She was one of my leaders and was a school physician. She couldn't meet them, so I had to visit her. And when he came into the house, like, people were making noise and dancing. Then she shouted,
like, you guys should stop. Men of God are here.
You know that kind of stuff. I love that. He said, men of God are here. That means you must behave yourself. And of course, we didn't bring Jeep. No Jeep. No car. No Jeep. But she said, men of God are here.
She told us, separate, sacred. Men of God are here.
Hallelujah. How do I treat my man of God? Do I speak about you? Do I speak about you? Do I speak about you? How do I do it? I must make a deliberate change. I must be conscious in what I speak about them. I must make a change.
Amen.
I said, we're looking at how we honor practically, because of my time, short time. Number two, we are going to see. We honor by giving us something. You have a Bible? Number one, we said how we speak. Okay. Two, we said giving what? Our substance. Amen. Proverbs. If you didn't hear, you can laugh me. I'll give a short time just for question and answer. Maybe you can have questions like you and Sandra, you can just answer them. You and Sandra. Like you have a question or probably I'll give a short time, like 10 minutes, for question and answer in the course of this class. If you have, have a question as regards how you're supposed to treat a minister, or just give a short time for that, we can answer that. But the intent of this study is so that we can walk much more in honor and see much more demonstration of the power of God in our midst. Okay? We will see about how we treat our meeting. Is it just a casual meeting? Some of us just come for meeting.
You are just going to mark time.
You don't know how to stay at home. Might just go.
But there's a way we can treat it. I'm coming to the place. We'll see that. Amen.
Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, from verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. Then 4 says, so shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not in thy own understanding. 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. Verse 9, it says, honor the law with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thine increase. Like I said, when it says to honor the Lord, are you going to give God the offering in heaven? Or are you going to give God the substance? No. Like I used to think before, when I was small, I thought the offering, you know, the kind of church I was going to, you put one kind of stuff like this. And after giving offering, we just put the offering here. I used to think God would come and carry the offering. Honestly. I used to think you just go home, then, as in, when we go home, God will come and carry the offering. But when he says, honor the Lord, after all, the God's activity on earth is through men. So, to honor God is to honor men. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That word substance is from
an Hebrew word, hon, H-O-N.
Pronounced hon, H-O-N-E. It's hon. I don't like it. Hon, H-O-N. Pronounced hon, H-O-N-E. It is used for wealth, riches, owo, kudi, money, tekwe. Substance, money. It says, honor the Lord with your substance. With your woe, your tekwe. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways in which we honor ministers is by giving our substance. Right? Giving our substance. Giving ourselves. Like someone was going to give me an offering today, I had to correct him. Calm down. Before you give, let me make proper clarification in your mind. You are doing this because you honor the grace of God in my life. That's why you're doing this. You must know that. You don't do this, do that because of anything else. So yes, I know. Fine. Then you can bring it. We do that because we honor the grace of God on the life of the minister. Take honor the Lord with your substance, with your money. I'm not a materialistic person who comes to say, you must give to me, you must give to me. And in fact, I find it very strange. Like, one particular guy in school, he mounted the pulpit and said, today, all of you must sow to my life. Why must you be the one to say all this kind of stuff? Me, I find it very hard. You see, you just tell the congregation, everybody, you must sow upon the grace of God upon my life. I find it difficult to do all this kind of things. But the truth is that we cannot change God's word because some people are doing it wrongly. The word of God says we honor through giving. We cannot change God's word. Because some people are doing it wrongly doesn't mean it's not correct. I honor with my substance.
I honor with the things I give. Amen. First Timothy. Are we together here? First Timothy 5 and verse 17. So let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. Says, especially they who labor in what? In the word and doctrine. Then 18 is explaining further. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Says, and what? The laborer. Who is the laborer? The elder who labors in the word and doctrine. So the laborer is worthy of what? His reward. So let them be counted for double honor. How? Through giving. Through giving, so the laborer is worthy of his reward. Just like the wage you pay somebody that does a job for you, he said he's a laborer to get a wage. He's worthy of his reward. He preaches the gospel, he said he's worthy of a reward. That's the word. Reward. Not just Pastor Kobe, we love you. Pastor Smart, we love you. We love you. Thank you so much for your labor. No. After that, of course, we are having Pastor Smart's birthday coming up on the 13th of October. Well, it will be an avenue for us to, like Paul said, to prove the sincerity of our love. Hallelujah. So it's not just coming out to say, you have been a blessing. You have been a this, you have been a that, you have been a this for us. But it says the laborer is worthy of his reward. Count them what? Count them what? Worthy of what? Double what? Look at in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says, look at what he says. Just put your hand here and go to Ephesians quickly. Are you there? Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then 2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So Paul says to honor your father and, which is the first commandment with a promise. But he says the elder, what should be given to him? Double. That means, I'm preaching the word. What you buy for your father, he said, double, you'll be giving to the elder. I'm preaching the word, dude. That's the word. He says, honor your father and what? Your mother. But he says, the elder, presbyterion, that means the one who is in charge of teaching and preaching, okay? An overseer, he said, double honor. What? Double. Are we together? Double. Like Paul in Romans, we say that if they are receive of their spiritual things, it is their duty. That means you owe the one that ministers to you spiritual things. He said it is your obligation to minister your material things. It is your obligation. He said, let them be counted worthy of what? Double honor. We
we're actually receiving corrections there, right? Every one of us. We're receiving correction. Jesus said the same thing. Matthew. Matthew 10. So verse 1. Look at what he said. He says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Then he said, the name is 5. He said, these 12 Jesus set forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. 7. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Give them one message, but they all should say. 8. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. 9. He says, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. We will see why he said this. 10. He said, not scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is what? Worthy of his meat. That means, as you are going for the work of the ministry, they are supposed to provide this for you. Say, don't carry two. The workman is worthy of what? His reward. Worthy of his meat. 11. He says, and into whatever city or town ye enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide ye, ye go thence. 12. It says, when you come into and now salute it. 13. And if the house be what? Be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Say, the house be worthy, let your peace come unto it. That means what you don't honor, you cannot receive. That's what it means. He said, if the house be worthy, okay, they receive you, they provide these things for you, they let your peace come upon. Let's read in 244, you see. Sorry, 40. He said, verse 40, he says, he that receiveth you, the same instruction for ministry, he said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. 41. He that receiveth the prophet, in the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So Jesus shows us that there is a reward for giving material things to ministers. He shows us. He said, where you are going, don't carry too close. Don't carry extra cash. Don't carry extra blazer. He said, because you are worthy of your meat. That means they are supposed to provide these things for you. They are supposed to provide it for you. He said, if they be worthy of it, let your peace come upon it. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying the same thing. The way we honor, one of the ways we honor is through giving ministers substance. Substance. Hallelujah. Everybody's quiet now. Substance. Say substance.
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 Oh, take away. Hallelujah. Look at what he said. He is worthy of his meat. Paul says the laborer is worthy of his reward. It's not as if you are trying to pity the guy. It's not as if you are just trying to pity the meat. He said he is worthy of his reward. He is his charge. It's not like he did something for you. You are supposed to pay him. You are not pitying him.
That's his reward. Worthy of his reward, worthy of his needs. He says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treaded the corn.
For the laborer is worthy of his reward.
Amen.
Amen.
Galatians 6. I'm receiving correction. I don't know about you. Receiving correction to change. Honor the minister of God much more. Honor my pastors. Honor our leaders. I'm receiving correction. Amen. Galatians chapter 6. Six. He says, let him that is what? Are you there? Galatians 6 says, let him that is what? Thought where in the world do what? Communicate unto who? What communicates is what Koinonia to share, right? Share all good things with him that teacheth. So we have plethora of instructions about this in the scriptures. Plethora. That the one who teaches, he said, and to communicate all good things to him. So we cannot act like we are not seeing it. We cannot act like it's not in the world because it's there. It's there. See, we must communicate all good things. Give your money. Give kindness. To him that teacheth the world. Say, I learned to honor. Say, I learned to honor with my substance. Say, I learned to honor with my substance. I learned to honor with my substance. You honor with our money, our own, our ego, to me. Take away. Hallelujah. Recognizing the grace of God upon me. Hallelujah. So, the cell leader is not too big for you to give. Assistant cell leader is not too big for you to give. Don't forget, we said it is the grace of God. It is a gift that came from grace, not as a result of the person's effort. So, I'm giving to recognize that grace. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you are doing. Hallelujah. Naturally, you can't pay a minister for what he is doing. You cannot. You cannot pay. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, yeah, it's the end. Yeah.
First Thessalonians chapter 5. There's a short time now. Amen. Verse 12 says, Thessalonians 5 and 12 says, I will beseech you, brethren, to know, it says, know them which what? Labor among you. First of all, it says, know them. Alright? It says, know them who labor among you and are what? And are over you in the Lord. And what? Admonish you. Are you saying? It says, know them who labor. Okay? And it says, and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That thing, it says, and to what? Esteem them. Did he say highly? It says, esteem them very highly. It says, know them who labor. That means we are not all the same. It says, know them who labor. We are not all the same. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. He said, know them first of all. Right? Let's be real. Which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, say, and to esteem them very highly in love, for what? For what? Their work's sake. And be at peace among yourself. Say, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Esteem them. Not in words alone. Jesus showed us that is one of the ways through giving. Okay, Paul says through giving. Okay, Solomon says through your substance. Esteem them very highly. Not just highly, very highly. Very highly.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
After all this one, you go. You know, October 13, one of the things I was still on,
those are the new.
I want to just call Pastor PD to come and say something about Pastor Smart. Oh, Pastor Smart, and you be saying. I want to call
Brother Ike.
Oh, Godwin. I have to thank you, man of God. He has catatismus my feet. I'm quoting you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we cannot claim to be blind about these things. It's either we are ignorant or we are mischievous. Like I said, we have come to receive correction, each and every one of us. Is it that we don't know or we choose not to act on it? We choose not to. Paul says, I am writing so that you know how to behave. So I am teaching so that you know how to behave. Amen. You know, I mean, I don't know how to do all this offering raising. You see some pastors handle mic, they want to raise offering for I'm telling you, you won't know when you just be up like this. But you see, we don't do all those things to get you to walk in the world. We teach you the world and we expect you to walk in the world. We are not trying to cajole you. This is what the word says, and we are going to act on the word. You understand? I was telling my friend, somebody just gave me a very nice shoe, as in, I think he bought that shoe for like 25k. That was the first day I was wearing that shoe. Oh, when I got to the service that day, raising. Fine, knew it. I didn't know when my shoe was gone.
Your shoe be left.
I didn't know when my shoe was gone. Like one of my friends went to give his laptop. I wanted to kill him. Your laptop! But you see, we don't need to do all those things. We don't need to do all those things to get you to honor God. We teach you God's word. You see it clearly. With no hidden agenda. We are not trying to corrupt the world or trying to. No hidden agenda. This is what the word says. We say it that way. Do you understand? We say it that way. The word teaches to honor ministers with our substance. And we are going to do it. Not because we just want to give to, Pastor Mark. No, that's what the word says. It mustn't be his birthday. It mustn't be his birthday. That means you can have something on the road. Oh, my pastor. And probably he just sent something to me. Is that not you? Right? Yes. I'm doing the word. To do the word of God is deliberate. To act on the word is deliberate. Deliberate action. Deliberate. Just like we act on the word, throwing in the things of the Spirit, we rejoice. Like Paul will say, we'll go there shortly. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We will fix for this kind of thing. Look at this. Let's read from verse 1 so that we understand. See, moreover, brethren, we do it to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Then too, he says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto their riches of their liberality. Then 3, he says, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Do you understand? See, that which they had, and they were even willing to do much more, willing of themselves, and they were poor at that particular time. For he said, praying us, that means entreating us, or desiring of us, with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. Then 5, it says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, unto us by the will of God. Then verse 6 says, in so much that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he will also finish in you the same grace also. 7, therefore, as he abound in everything, in faith, are you seeing? In utterance, we are giving prophecy, talking to the church at Corinth, they knew how to speak in tongues very well. Say, as you abound in faith and utterance, and what? Knowledge, and in all what? Diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. It says, as you abound in knowledge, as you abound in utterance, as you abound in diligence, see that you abound in this grace. As much as you are growing, and the fact that you know how to prophesy, you can give a sigh, you can give him, you can rejoice, something like that. He said, as you abound, see that you also increase in his grace. That means growth is complete. Growth is not one-sided. You grow in this aspect, you're not growing in the other. Growth is not just one-sided. Oh, I cannot speak in tongues 10 hours. Fine. I now know pretext, false text, context. Fine. I now know how to give a word of knowledge, a tongue, interpretation, word of wisdom, lay hands on the sick, workings of miracles. He says, as you are bound in those things, see. That means it is my responsibility to ensure I am bound in giving. See that you are bound. See that you increase. And look at the people he was using to admonish them. He said they were poor, but in their poverty, he said it abounded unto their liberality. He said they were willing and even more than their power. More than their power. That means probably some were to take loans. I'm not saying you should do that. So when you take them, say more than their power, more than they were able to. See, they were willing. They were willing. Hallelujah. We are receiving correction. See, they were willing. As we are bounding. Oh, glory, rejoicing, glory, rejoicing. Enjoying the things of the Spirit, he said we should abound in this also. This is the church in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. He says they came behind in no gifts. 14, instructing them to demonstrate the gifts in love. That means don't just speak in tongues to yourself, okay? Interpret to bless the other. Teaching them how to demonstrate the gift of the Spirit in the church. They were good in utterance, good in knowledge. He says, abound also in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I honor.
I honor.
He's my source.
That's the word.
You're not trying to argue. You know that? That's why we are reading from the Bible. You know, those who do it, they don't have scripture to quote. Let's start giving you testimony, testimony, testimony.
But we teach the word of God, who it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said, first of all, the way we speak about them, right? How I speak about Pastor Tony. My Pastor Tony is not there. Do I take him as sacred in my speech? Or just speak anyhow? Or join those who speak anyhow based? This guy is this, this guy is this, forgetting the fact that he is the grace of God. He is the gift of God. You can't change that. You can't change that. And sometimes when they are sick, they still come and look for you. You can't change that. Then we said, we must honor with our substance. It's in the world. To me, I've seen, I've heard of guys who bought stores of their pastor. Nothing wrong in this. Nothing wrong in it. I'm not against, like, those who complain that this one buys this for his pastor. What's your business? Is he your pastor? Not your money? They're just funny. Is he your pastor? Some give cars, nice stuff to that. That's them. They are honoring the grace of God. There's no money that can put it there. There's no money that can put God's call on any man. There's no money. There's no amount, for me, there's no amount of money that is too much to give a pastor. That's what I mean. There's no amount of money. There's nothing too much. Nothing too much. Amen. Nothing too much. Who's buying jets for their pastor? Nice. It's not good. Not their money. It's their money. Nice. Bentley, nice. Nice Escalade, nice Bentley. Nice, it's their money. They choose to not pastor. And so people will not take it viral. See then, pastors, this and that. That's not, it's not your business. It's not your business. We here, we are being trained, and the word of God is training us for us to follow much more. Sometimes people will look at you like you are a fool, outsider, you make guesses, so you can't even be pastor. Well, you are not allowed to behave like those in the world, because your knowledge of God's word differentiates from them. Amen. Say, I'm learning to honor. Say, I walk in honor. I honor the gift of God. Say, I honor the gift of God. No sleeping here. You are still going to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Then lastly, we are going to talk about forming army gatherings. It's not just restricted to the fact that we honor ministers of God. Restricted to the fact that we honor our members, how we speak about them, okay, giving, also how we treat meetings. How do we treat it? Another class or another what do you call it? Language meeting you are going for, or something you are just going to mark register. Because Christian gatherings are made by us. The way we want a Christian gathering to go, we are the ones who determine it. So the way we treat it will determine how much more it will be a blessing to us. So I'll just get off. Where they go? Are they go fellowship? Where they go? Fellowship. Are they go fellowship? It's just working like a destiny. Like, it's just coming to mark register. Obviously, there's nothing in his heart or in his mind that he's coming to meeting to do. Just coming to sit down, ask neighbors, and smile, talk when they go out. Sometimes they come because of their friends, okay? Just to keep up with the Joneses. The Bible talks about gathering, Hebrews 10. Verse 26, it says, 25, sorry, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, says, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So there is an instruction to gather. We also see that there is also an attitude in the gathering. Paul spoke about, there's also an attitude in the gathering, not just to gather. There's also an attitude to the gathering. Like somebody asked a question. He said, as me, Jesus, was to be in this meeting physically, how would you treat it? Do you understand? As you mean, Jesus was to be here physically. How would I treat the meeting? How would you treat the meeting? Do you understand? Because you're a carnal man who is walking according to the flesh. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, I am there. I am there. Like I said, a church mustn't be 10,000, a church mustn't be 50,000, a church mustn't be four, just two. It says, when two or three are gathered, I am there. Therefore, the way I respond to that gathering matters. Just as we are here now, Jesus is here, you know. He's in us. We have gathered about and in his name. We are not here for political reasons. We are not here for academic reasons. We are here for what? What? For what? What do you say? Fellowship, right? Fellowship in and by the name of Jesus. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 says, when you gather together, my spirit with you, says, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ also with you. That means when we gather, says the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. With us. So, how do we treat our meetings? Is it just the ordinary meeting? Don't forget, he said, what you don't honor, you cannot receive back. So, yeah, I'm just going for meeting. And somebody can come for that same meeting and he receives the healing power of God. Somebody can come and he receives direction. And you just come like that, and you go like that. You just came to mark register. 1 Corinthians 11. Are we there? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 17. He said, now in this, that I declare unto you, says, I praise you not. Right? He says, that you come together, not for what? Not for what? It says, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. That these Christian gatherings is supposed to make us better. It's not a religious gathering where we just come over. He says, it's to make us better. That you gather not for the better, but for the worse. So my attitude towards that meeting will determine whether I'll live there better or worse. My attitude. Simple things like punctuality. You know, when the Bible says they were in one accord, that means they started the prayer together, right? One accord. Right, the prayer together, they sang together, okay, read the scriptures together. Not the one that will be praying, and somebody will now come 5:40 or 5:30. We are praying, everybody's on, praying. Before he will get in the flow, he start jerking. Before he will get in the flow, the prayer meeting is gone. It's not in one accord with us. Simple things like that. You know, you won't go for an exam late. You know, you won't go for, or you won't go to your office late. You know, you won't go to class late. Why? Because the class is important to you. You revere what is going on there. So, you must see our gathering like that. We must see our gathering like that. This is a sacred meeting. A special meeting, not just meeting for politicians, not just meeting for academics, but it's a community of those that are called out from darkness to light, those who have Christ in them. So I must see that meeting as sacred. Simple issues like the time will come shows our attitude towards the meeting. You understand? Time will come. I'm home. I'm praying about the meeting. Shows that I know something will happen here. I'm interested in the meeting. Meeting is sacred. I'm praying about the meeting. You honor the meeting. Hallelujah. You're praying about the meeting. Praying for those who will minister. It's our own. We'll be the ones to treat it right. Nobody will do it for us. It's our own. Like I said, we must honor to see what? God's glory demonstrated much more through us. We must honor. This meeting is not ordinary. Speaking words. Oh, the pastor speaks by the inspiration of God today. And I'm blessed. I receive from God's gift today. And I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I said we are receiving corrections today. How do you expect somebody who is coming for the first time and he sees you coming late? How do you expect the person to come next week? You went to do follow up for somebody and the person came before you. The person came at 4, you are coming 4:30. The mindset that will come to that guy first of all is either what you people are doing here is not too serious, that's why he's not coming at this time. It's not too serious. Because you are the one that called me here and you're coming at this time. So the mindset he will have is that you guys are not serious here. What you are doing is not serious. Hence, he can also develop that same attitude because of you. Paul says the meeting is supposed to be for our good. It's supposed to be for our blessing. It's supposed to make us better. How do you go for something that is supposed to make you better? Imagine they say you are supposed to receive 10 million. 10 million in a hotel. Tomorrow morning by 6 a.m. After this VG. After this VG, some of them like Babs Ma'afa. Time now, close. Some of us will be there before the person has said it. Because that money is supposed to make us better. Paul says our gathering is to make us better. So I must put honor. I must honor the meeting. I must treat in respect. Like I said, we'll honor the things of the spirit. Somebody is rejoicing, not you'll be laughing at the person. It makes no sense. You're an idiotist, an unlearned fellow. Rejoice. If you're rejoicing, you are laughing. Laughing at what? Speaking in tongues, you are laughing. Interpreting, you are laughing. Hallelujah. Exactly. Where people of honor. Yeah. Let's go. So, we must honor God's gathering. We must honor ministers. We must honor them. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to stop here, like I said. I'll give the next 15 minutes. My time is supposed to end at 1:30. So, if you have any question, because I expect that after this meeting, we see much more improvement. Alright? Much more improvement. So we want to have that area, shady areas, probably things that you want to ask questions about, which of course ministers are here, we are going to handle it so that we'll see much more demonstration of God's power in our lives. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you have a question, probably you want to ask as regards honor or how to honor those, you can
just